Vineyard Church Glendora presents this podcast of the weekend sermon given by Pastor Jacob Gaines.
Well, so good to hang out with you this morning. Worship together. Amazing. When I think about my week, I look forward. Anyone else? Like, I just look forward to this every week. It's on my calendar, like, be there Sunday, hang out with your friends, worship a great God, eat. It's just the best. So what a blessing we have just to hang out together. And how's 2014 treating you so far? We good? 2 weeks in. I think we all learned a new phrase this week. Can you put it on the screen? Like polar vortex. Anybody else never heard of the dreaded polar vortex until this week? I'm like, what? It sounds so menacing, doesn't it? We somehow dodged the dreaded polar vortex here in California, but the rest of the country, I hear, was not so lucky. I grew up in southeastern Michigan. We literally had about 20 minutes away, there was a little town, and I'm not lying, it's known as Hell, Michigan, H-E-L-L, Hell, Michigan, which, if you're from Hell, you got all sorts of jokes you can go with. You know, you can just take that a million different directions. But one of my friends from back there posted this from coming out of Hell, Michigan this week. That's the sign going into town. It happened. It had froze over this week. I have another friend who is a professor, not in Hell, but it's from around Hell, and oftentimes we would go to Hell and visit him. But I'm telling you, there's no end to the ways you can go with that. Look it up. Google it. Not now, but it's there. Small little town. I do have a friend. He's a professor in the Midwest, and he had a student this week from Georgia who has apparently never experienced a Midwestern winter. And so he posted on Facebook a video of himself going outside for the first time on Tuesday when it was, I believe, minus 38 wind chill in Chicago. And his video actually went viral. It had over like 100,000 hits on YouTube. Here's the video. You got to see this. This is what it was like this week.
Hi, my name is Tyler Langford, and it's currently negative 11 degrees with a negative 38 degree wind chill, and this is my journey. All right, I'm about to open the door to go outside for the first time. Oh, no! There's no way I can do this. I hate Chicago! I hate Chicago!
You just had to move here, Tyler. You just had to move here and follow your dreams.
We'll just major in theater. We'll move to Chicago. We'll be on Saturday Night Live in just 1 year!
My dad was right. My dad was right.
Currently at the train station, and it's not here.
Where are you?
I made it. Some of you are probably asking, like, hey, what does the cold feel like? It's like Christmas is coming up, and both of your parents just lost their jobs. You're at the doctor's office, and the doctor's like, hey, we're going to have to amputate all your body parts. And you're like, why? And then, like, no reason. It's kind of...
Those of you who've lived there, is that not the truth? It is like you're going to amputate every body part for no reason. They just slowly freeze and fall off. It's absolutely brutal. So anyhow, we survived the polar vortex, and we made it. Apparently, it's gone. For those of you who are new here, or if you're just checking things out on a Sunday morning, we typically spend the next 30 to 45 minutes studying the Word of God, studying the Scriptures. And, this pursuit, and this is a good reminder, I think, for all of us at the beginning of a new year, this, what we do, there's always a bit of, I would say there's like a bit of mystery mixed in with discovery as we endeavor to do this. When I say mystery, what I mean by that is, I never quite know what God is going to say to you and to me when we open his word. I sometimes have an idea, but the Spirit of God just blows through here and moves in ways that I never know. And so as we discover, there's this exciting, that's like the exciting part for me, is the mystery, is what's God going to say to you or to me, and what's he going to speak today? My prayer every time I take this stage, quite simply, is that God would speak. That yeah, you would hear my voice, but you would hear the Spirit of God speaking through his word and using me simply as the messenger, simply as a conduit. And so as I prepare during the week, my consistent prayer is simply very quite simple. Quite simply, it's this: God, what do you want to say to us? What do you want to say? You just show me from your word what you want to say and help me to say it as I should and use me as a fit vessel and purify my heart, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And that's what we do here. I've told this story probably numerous times, but it bears repeating because it speaks to this, and it comes from Jewish tradition. The sages tell a story about three disciples who were walking home one evening after having spent the day with their rabbi and listening to their rabbi's teaching. And as they were walking home, they were talking about their time with the rabbi, and one of the disciples said, you know, guys, I feel like the rabbi was speaking like straight to my heart today. It was like it was just he and I there. I know you guys were there, but I just felt like he was speaking to me. And one of the other disciples said, no, he wasn't speaking to you. I felt like it was just he and I having this discussion. And you know, I don't know what he was saying to you, but I felt like he was speaking straight to me. And the third disciple said, fellas, I don't know what you two are talking about, but I could have sworn that the rabbi was speaking to me today. You two weren't even there, and he was speaking straight to my heart. And the sages say, so it is with the Spirit of God. Each one hears exactly what they need to hear. And so my prayer for us this year, my prayer for us this morning, is that the Spirit of God would give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say. It's a mystery. I don't know what he's going to say to you. That's what makes it exciting. And so with that, let's press in today. Spirit of God, we ask you now, as we open your word, as we push towards discovery, Father, I just ask, Spirit of God, that you would speak now to our hearts, that you would open our minds, that you would give us ears that are receptive. Lord, may we be fully present in the next 30 minutes to these moments, this time that you've given us today. May we not be other places, and so bring us here and make us present to what you want to say to your church gathered here at Whitcomb High School today. Give us ears to hear in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. I was thinking about life this week. Life is always changing, isn't it? You ever notice that about life? Always changing. And some of you in this room love that about life. And others of you loathe that about life, don't you? The ever-changing nature of life. That is just how it is. Abigail and I have been married now 15 years, and we've moved two times in our marriage. The first move, we moved 1.8 miles north from our apartment, 1.8 miles north. And the second move, which was about 8 years ago, we moved 0.1 miles north on the same street, 14 houses down. Needless to say, when it comes to change, we are a couple that does not quite embrace it. We have moved 1.9 miles in 15 years of marriage. Three different homes, 1.9 miles. How many of you can relate to us a little bit? You're like, I'm not so much into change. I kind of like to stay where I am. Others of you have been all over the map. You are consistently changing, and your life is always in flux, and you love it, and you embrace that. I was telling our life group, and if you're not in a life group, let me just do a plug for that. Get in a life group. This is a great week to join because we've only had 1 week, and there's four awesome life groups going, and ours is the best. But I was talking to little plug, you know. I was talking to our group on Wednesday night about I was sharing with them, And as I've thought about it more the rest of the week, that on Wednesday I was teaching my junior high students, and I was sitting at my desk, and I was having like this quasi-philosophical conversation with myself. You ever had one of those? My students were all working, and it was just like really quiet in the room, which when you teach junior high is really odd, but they were so quiet and they were working on something, so I just went with it. I had other plans. You know that moment, teachers, where you have other plans to get to, but they're being so quiet, you're like, just cancel that. We're just going to just let this ride. Let it ride. They think this is what they're supposed to do the whole time. And so they were just quietly working. So I was just sitting there at my desk, and I'm having this like quasi-philosophical conversation with myself. And these were some of the thoughts that I was thinking. And as I've pondered them more, they seemed so deep and so profound at that moment. I was like, yes, wow. And as I've thought about them more, they're really not that profound and not that deep. But here they are anyway. I was thinking about life and its changing nature, and how life seems to be made up of a long, long string of ever-changing moments, seasons. It's like life. It's like we just live, don't we, from one moment to the next moment. And those moments are always changing. But the reality is, all we have is this moment right here. We do not, I guarantee this moment will change in about 30 minutes. This moment will change, and we'll go and we'll live another moment. We'll pick up children, we'll go to lunch, we'll start, you know, whatever projects we had on our Sunday afternoon to-do list. So this moment will change. And I was thinking that that's kind of like life, and you can't stop it. One moment is always changing into the next. I'm quite certain Sunday will eventually become Monday, and that season, that day, that marker of time will change, and winter in Southern California will become summer, and because we just skip right through spring, right? It's like all of a sudden it'll be 80 all week. We're just going to go to summer, and that moment changes. Seasons change. Your 3-year-old turns 4, and then they turn 18, right? And you're like, what happened? These moments, they were here, and they changed. Some of our students are graduating, and that moment, that season, right, changes, and you move out of the dorm, or you move out of the apartment, and you're like, now what? I'm just going through these, you know, changes, and that's just life. It seems to be the way that life is. And so this morning, I want to talk about change. I want to talk about change this morning. And you know, it's this time of year. It's a good time of year to talk about change because we're in a season, a time of year where people are making changes, right? Like, this is a really good time to invest in Nicorette gum if you're wanting to make an investment, because people are trying to make like quantum changes in their life, or maybe invest in 24-hour fitness or LA Fitness or something like that. People are making changes this time of year, and so I want to kind of piggyback on some of that and talk about change. I want us to talk about God. I want us to talk about change as it pertains to God and as it pertains to these moments and these seasons of life that we're all living through. So let's start here. Let's start with talking about change as it pertains to God. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 3. I know that's exactly what you were expecting. Let's just jump into Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament. If you don't have a Bible, it will be on the screen above me starting now. Malachi chapter 3 in verse 6, the prophet is God is speaking through the prophet. And listen to what he says. Very, very easy, very short verse. Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. Now we could take apart the Hebrew in that verse, and we could deconstruct exactly what God is saying through the prophet Malachi, and we could parse verbs, and we could, you know, try to get to the deeper meaning, but I'll be quite honest, we could do all of that, and I'm not sure I can mine a whole lot more out of that verse. I, the Lord, do not change. I think what he's trying to say, God is trying to say through the prophet, catch this, is that he doesn't change. He's kind of like the same, which would be the opposite of change. So if I were doing an exegetical Hebrew paper on the minor prophets, and I was trying to write 10 pages on that verse, I would be struggling now in paragraph 2. because I think I've got to the bottom of this one. He's trying to say something about his nature, his unchanging nature. And the Bible speaks over and over again, numerous times through the Old and New Testament, about the unchanging nature of God. Theologians have a very fancy word for this. If you put that next slide up, they call this the immutability of God. It's a very fancy theological word that theologians use to prove that they are very smart and that they spent, you know, they spent a lot of money on grad school. And so we can use words like immutability, which simply means that God, he doesn't change. He's unchanging. So the word immutable or immutability, you got to promise me you're going to try to use that word in casual conversation this week. Just try to drop that one. And if you can add in polar vortex to the same conversation, double points for you. You're like, how would I do that? I got an idea. You could say something to the effect of, hey, I guess we dodged that polar vortex last week, huh? Like, yeah. Have you seen our forecast? Looks kind of immutable. 80s all week. Sunny in 80s, unchanging. Or maybe to your child, I've had enough with your immutable attitude. It needs to change. Immutable, immutability. In all seriousness, immutable or this this idea that God is unchanging, it speaks of God's nature, but I want to push a little further because it also means not that just God in his essence is unchanging, that he stays the same, but that his attributes also are unchanging. So we could talk about the immutability, the unchanging nature of the love of God. It does not change. We could talk about his unchanging goodness, his unchanging grace, his unchanging, immutable compassion, mercy, wisdom. He's unchanging, not only in his being and who he is, but in what he is like, in his attributes. They're immutable, they're unchanging. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel is speaking to Saul, the first king of Israel, and he says this about God: he who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind. Samuel's reminding this king, this new king Saul, God is not like you, and he's not like me. We're constantly changing our mind. God does not need to change his mind. He is not human, he says. He is unchanging. Or how about James, one that's familiar to many of you? James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. James is saying, every good and perfect gift comes from him. And he doesn't change. His goodness is unchanging. It does not shift. Or Hebrews 13:8, the writer of Hebrews says this about Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same, which I would argue is the opposite of change, correct? Is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He was who he was and who he is and who he will be. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Have you ever revisited a place that at one time in your life held very significant meaning and value, and you revisit that place and it's changed? It's gone. Stuart has a great story about this with his childhood home, which if we had more time, I would let him share. You'll have to ask him his story about how his hometown or something like that just completely changed, and it was exactly not. But have you ever had that moment where it just rubs you the wrong way? Abigail and I, we met in Jerusalem, Israel, long story, and we kind of, I don't know, fell in love at this little coffee shop in Jerusalem called The Second Cup. And it was kind of like our place. It was where we would go and study. And we would go, and she would drink coffee, and I would drink hot apple cider, and it was like our place. I even got her a T-shirt after we left Israel from The Second Cup. And then we went back there 5 years ago, on our 10-year anniversary. One of the things I was really excited about, I thought of this picture of us going back to Second Cup after 10 years of marriage and Gracie with us and having another cup of hot apple cider. And we show up in Jerusalem, and they went out of business. They're gone. Second Cup was like, we went to the spot, it wasn't there. Second, it was like our place. Like, why did that have to change? And there was something about that that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because there seems to be something in us that wants things to stay the same, right? We can appreciate consistency, and we don't like things to change. And I don't know about you, but for me, there is something extremely comforting in the thought that we serve a God who doesn't change. He's always shows up. You know, sometimes we talk about God, I wonder if he's going to show up. No, that's the wrong question. He's always present. We're the ones that show up. Like, he's the same. He hasn't changed. He's there. His love, he's good. It's not like, well, he was good on Monday, but Tuesday his goodness was in question. No, he's the same, and there's something so empowering about that, so comforting in that. In this ever-changing world where our kids are growing up and where politics change and nation-states change and there's all these quantum changes, you get an iPhone and it's already outdated after 3 months and you're trying to figure out the next one, and everything's always so rapidly changing. It seems like in our world today, change is simply coming faster and faster and faster, and we struggle to keep up, and it can almost make you dizzy, can't it? It's just so good to know he doesn't change. Like, he's that rock. He's unchanging. He's steady. We can find solace in that reality. What if he did change, you know? What if God was always changing? You know, we take out Malachi 3 and James 1. He's like, sometimes he does change. I mean, think about how we would read verses like Psalm 145, verse 8, which says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love." Well, if he was always changing, then you might have to put some things in parentheses, right? Like, you could say the Lord is typically gracious and compassionate. I mean, usually, in case you get him on an off day, and you might have to say mostly slow to anger, but get to church on time, or else it might get his anger, you know, roused up a little bit, and he's rich in love. As long as, you know, you obey, do what's right, he's rich in love. What if we just never kind of knew what we were going to get? It would be really hard to trust a God like that, wouldn't it? It would be really hard to have faith in a God like that who is ever changing. But his word says he simply doesn't. Moments and seasons will change. Relationships will change. Situations may change, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that good news to anybody here today? Some of you are going through some quantum changes right now. It's so good to know that he is not changing. So if you're feeling a bit off balance this new year, or maybe you don't know what to hang on to, or you don't know who to trust or who to believe in, or you're facing a lot of changes which can bring a lot of anxiety, the good news, the word of the Lord to you today is there is an unchanging God who is the same. So be encouraged. Now, I want to do a second kind of thought here, because as I was having quasi-philosophical thoughts at my desk, I just lingered in that moment a little bit, and it kind of led me to another rabbit trail that I want to take you down as it pertains to change, because I was thinking about the immutability, the unchanging, about moments and how, and then about how those are always changing, but then how, like, God is immutable and he doesn't change, and that led me to another thought I want to push us toward, and it's simply this: God is unchanging, yes. He doesn't change. But is it not true that he is consistently pushing and calling you and I to change? I don't know why. I was sitting there thinking about it. I'm like, he's unchanging. He doesn't need to change. But he's always pushing us towards change. What's there? There's something there. What's in that? Like, you could say this way: God is immutable, but we're very mutable. We're very liable to change. And that's actually a good thing that he pushes us towards. And then as I started to think even bigger picture about this, I started to think, isn't that what God is really up to in our world today? He's just consistently bringing change and calling us to change. It seems to me that change is a natural byproduct of the activity of God in our world and in our lives today. It's just very natural that when the Spirit of God, when God begins to move, when God begins to work, there will be change. Let's go back to 1 Samuel for a moment and Saul. In 1 Samuel, a few chapters earlier, in chapter 10, when Samuel is anointing Saul as the first king of Israel, in chapter 10, he says this, "The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person." And then a few verses later in verse 9, it says, "As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day." You see, Samuel tells Saul that when his life is intersected by the activity of God, the Spirit of the Lord, he says, will come powerfully upon you. When that happens, he tells him there will be what? There will be change. He tells Saul, you will be a different person. Who you are now is not who you are going to be. There's going to be this change, he says. You're going to be a different person. Why? Because change is a natural byproduct of the activity of God in our world today. When the Spirit of God begins to move, there will be change, he says. You're going to be a different person. And then a few verses later, Saul doesn't have to wait very long, does he? Because like three verses later, he turns to leave. I don't know how, 10 minutes later? 30 minutes later, he turns to leave, and something happens. It says God changed Saul's heart, and everything was fulfilled that day. Is there someone in your life right now that you wish they would change? Do not elbow the person next to you. Like. That person at work, that neighbor, that one you live with, that you call son or daughter. You just wish something about them would change, that they would be like, I pray 1 Samuel 10:6 over you. Spirit of the Lord come powerfully upon them. May they be a different person. Do something in them. God, change their heart. If you have someone like that, might I propose this morning that you take that person to prayer? It may not be your job to change said person. What may be your job is to anoint them in prayer, like Samuel does for Saul, and say, Lord, whatever, if there needs to be change, and you have all wisdom on this issue, then would you please change their heart on this matter in this way that I think, that I, the ever mutable, ever changing one, in my itsy bitsy little bit of wisdom that I carry, this is what I think they should be like. This is how I think they should change. If you happen to agree with me and you want to make that change, would you, like you did for Saul, would you change his heart? Would you change her heart? And then just leave the rest up to the Spirit of God who knows all, right? It's not your job. It's not my job to make changes. I mean, I've sat up here before and probably looked at some people out here and thought, I just wish that, okay, if I said it that way, maybe it would change this about them, or maybe if I just, crafted it this way, or if I could tell that story or make that point or talk really loud and authoritative, or talk really quiet like this is important, they would change. Guys, I can't do that. It's the Spirit of God's work to make change, isn't it? I mean, that's what I get out of this. That's what the Spirit of God does. Only He can change a human heart. And so I know, as it pains you, like, I just wish they would change. I pray change. Yeah, pray for them, and then just leave the rest up to the Spirit of God. Is there something that needs to change in you this morning? Because maybe as you're thinking of them, they're thinking of you. Man, I wish he would change. You're sitting there going to church going, I wish they would. I'm taking that one to the Lord. And they're sitting on the other side going, I'm taking that one to the Lord. And what does God do? Who do I change? Maybe both of you, right? I mean, is there something in you that you're like, I just wish this would change about me? You're self-aware enough to know that's wrong. My attitude, that was a terrible attitude. That addiction, that habit, whatever it is, that needs to change. That pattern, that cycle that we're in, that needs to change. And might I propose the same thing? If you desire to be a different kind of person, which is exactly what the Spirit of God does in Psalm, same thing. Take it to the Lord. Spirit of God, change me. Make me more like you. Do whatever you need to do in me. I want to be a different kind of person. Change just continues throughout the rest of the script. I mean, you get into the New Testament with this theme of change, and it just continues as Jesus is sent into the world. Think about it. The unchanging Father, the unchanging God, sends his Son, who Hebrews says is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is unchanging. So he sends his unchanging Son, the Father sends his unchanging Son, into a world that needs a lot of what? Change. I mean, he looks at the world and he says, this needs to change. This needs to be redeemed. This needs to be reconciled. This needs to be healed. This needs to be put back together. And when we read in the Gospels about, and we just sang it in worship, about heaven coming to earth, and Jesus taught us to pray it, and we read about it in the Bibles, where heaven in the person of Jesus Christ literally touched earth, came to earth for 33 some odd years. He was here. And when you read about that, is it not true that everywhere heaven went, everywhere that Jesus went, something changed? In every story, something or someone changed. Sometimes it was circumstances, wasn't it? Like circumstances just changed. So in John's gospel, he shows up. Very first miracle is what? He shows up at a wedding banquet where they run out of wine. And what does he do? He changes water, something common and ordinary, into something extra. It's the very first miracle in John's gospel. It's about like circumstances changing. There was going to be this massive embarrassment for the family. Jesus shows up. He changes water into wine. We've been changing it back ever since. But that's what he does, right? He makes this change of circumstances. He shows up there. He shows up outside of a tomb where a guy in John 11 has been dead for 4 days, right? Lazarus. And like the whole story changes. When Jesus shows up at the tomb and speaks his name, the dead guy comes out and there's this quantum change in circumstances. He gives two sisters their dead brother back. He brings resurrection power here as heaven comes to earth. He brings changes to circumstances. He walks up to a coffin in a funeral procession where a widow from Nain, remember that story? And he touches the coffin and all of a sudden the body is resurrected and he gives a woman back her son. He changes circumstances. He's in a boat during a storm, and all of a sudden it's calm, like the circumstances, the situation changes. Everywhere that Jesus went, something changed. And then people would change too, right? He called people to change. And so he goes down to the shores of Galilee, and he talks to four young boys who are fishing with their dad, and he changes them. And there's this massive change in their life because they leave the fishing business and they begin to follow this rabbi from the Galilee. There's this change in these boys, and they become Peter and John and James and Andrew, the apostles, the disciples. There's this change in them. He invites the fifth guy, Levi, who's a tax collector, to leave his tax booth, and he changes professions, and he becomes a different kind of tax collector, and he follows Jesus. He calls him to change. He tells a woman caught in adultery to go and leave your life of sin. Make a change in the way that you were living. Make better decisions. I don't condemn you. But he tells her to go and leave. He's calling people to change. Now, later writers in the scripture picked up on this. Another guy who met Jesus and had his life significantly changed is reflecting on this. His name, Paul. Acts chapter 9, he encounters the risen Christ. What happens? Radically changed. And so he writes 13 books of the New Testament after this change. And in one of those letters, he's reflecting on, I think, who he was before and how he now is a very different kind of person, that now that the Spirit of God, the activity of God, has intersected his life. And so he's writing his second letter to a church in Corinth. And in chapter 5, verse 17, very familiar verse, he writes this: "If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." Paul's trying to, he's reflecting on this. He's like, yeah, ever since I met Christ, something changed about me. I had this old self that's now no longer here. There's been a new creation. The God of creation is consistently making new creation, changing things back to how they were intended to be from the very beginning. New acts of creation in hearts and lives. This unchanging God bringing this cataclysmic kind of changes to human hearts, removing old, bringing in the new. I would go as far to say this: I do not think it is possible to follow Jesus and to not be experiencing consistent change. I don't think it's possible to truly follow Jesus and not be changing on a regular basis. I don't know if any of you feel this way. Who I was when I met Jesus in eighth grade ain't who I am today. I have changed, and I continue to change. Who I was 5 years ago as a pastor, as a teacher, as a husband, as a dad. Man, I look at who I am today, I'm changing. Even like when I think about what I know and what I know of God, it seems to be like, yeah, I'm always learning more and it's always changing. And the more I seem to know, it seems to show me less than less that I know about this God. Always changing. I think to follow Jesus is to say, I'm going to change in any way that you call me to change. What I'm really talking about here is transformation, right? And Paul, earlier in that same letter, in chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image." In other words, he's saying, we are being changed. We're being transformed into his image. Whose image? The image of God. That's the image that we were created in from the very beginning. We were made to bear his image. And because of sin, that image has been marred. But as we walk with Jesus, year by year, day by day, we are being continually transformed, he says, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And it's just ever-increasing. It's that change. It just gets more and more and more. My prayer for us as a church for 2014 is that there would just be quantum changes in our lives. We prayed this morning before you got here, Spirit of God, may every person who enters these doors today leave changed. Because we've been in your presence, because we've heard your word, we've been before your throne in worship. May each of us in some way be changed. That this, our unchanging God, our God who does not change, would push us to change, to be more and more like what? Like him, who does not change. I mean, it's like a paradox. He's unchanging, but he's pushing us to change, to be like what? Him who is unchanging. He's constantly and consistently pushing us that way. And that by the end of 2014, we would say, hey, I have changed this year. I am not who I was in January. I think there's two responses real quick to this, and then Rainier, I want you to come up, and I want to close in prayer. I think there are very simply two responses to change, and they are these. Next slide. You either embrace or you resist, right? You can either choose to embrace the change, whatever it may cost you, whatever it may be, how uncomfortable it might be or comfortable. You can choose to embrace it or you can choose to resist it. When it comes to the activity of God in our world, might I propose and might I say, just embrace it. Don't resist it. If he's trying to change you, if you sense the Spirit of God is pushing you towards something, trying to make a change in your life, it's for the best. It's because his love for you is unchanging. His wisdom, it's unchanging. He knows what he's doing. And so I would just say, embrace that change. Don't resist it. And so the question then becomes for us today, very simple question. What would you like to see change this year? And let me ask it on two levels. Let's think about this on two levels. What needs to change for you? I'm talking circumstances. Some of you have a situation, a circumstance, a relationship, a dilemma. It needs to change this year. Like soon. That you just think of it, you're like, that needs to change. That relationship needs to change. That living situation needs to change. That bank account needs to change. This, Lord, it needs to change this year. It's a circumstance. It's a situation. What needs to change for you? I believe God wants to hear that today. I believe God, I have found, as in recent weeks I've been reflecting on this, there's just been all these circumstances that have changed. As I've thought about some of you, as I've thought about our family, as I've thought about some of our circumstances, and as I've thought about them, I came to this epiphany this week. Each one of those are something I've been praying about, and others have been praying about. Unbelievable. We've been praying for some big situations to change. Like, God, that needs to change. This needs to change. And I can honestly tell you in the last 4 weeks, I could rattle off 5 things really quickly, big things that have just changed suddenly. Like, well, it was going that way. It looked like it was going to go that direction. Then all of a sudden, it was like, whoop, went that way. Or, oh boy, that didn't look good. This isn't going to end well. Lord, that needs to change. We've had the church praying. We started praying. Went that way. I was in a hospital room with someone in this church, and something needed to change in that hospital room because it was looking bad. And the moment I'm like, well, what do we do? Let's pray. We prayed. It just changed. Everything, like, instantaneously changed. The direction it was heading. It was just like, whoa, now we're going that way. And so if you got a situation like that, I want to pray for that this morning. That needs to change. Second level is, what needs to change in you? Where do you just need to say, okay, Spirit of God, intersect my life in this way, in this issue, and this needs to change. This about me needs to change this year. I want to be more and more transformed into your image with ever-increasing glory. Increase your glory in me, your likeness in me, and change this about me. What needs to change for you this year? What needs to change in you this year? I want to pray with big faith today. I want to continue to pray with big faith throughout this year. At the end of this year, we can look back and say, okay, that changed, and you changed, and I changed. Man, we serve a God who is unchanging and yet pushes us to change. Rainier, why don't you come on up? Let's close this way. And I'll start by saying this. You are in a very safe place. I know change can be very intimidating for some of us. We, like, kick against it with everything. We only move 1.9 miles in 15 years. We changed a zip code by one digit. 91740 to 941741, and that felt a little scary. Kept our home phone, though, the same, thank God. For some of us, change is scary. But if you're just sensing right now the Spirit in this room, and you're just sensing, okay, this needs to change, then I would simply, I would like to ask, if you're just in a place right now where something needs to change for you, or something needs to change in you, as a step of faith today, and like I said, you're in a safe place, would you just stand so we can pray over you with big faith today? If you're in a place of, I just need this to change in my circumstance. Anybody else? You want to get in on this prayer. You're like, I want in on that. Lord has been moving. I've walked out of hospitals and stuff has changed. You're like, I got a circumstance. All right, then let's do this. If you're around one of these people, either extend a hand towards them or put a hand on a shoulder, and let's just go before the Spirit and ask Him to make whatever changes need to be made. Holy Spirit, we don't invite you into this room because we know you're already present. And so really what we need to do is just open up our lives to the work of the Spirit that's going on right now in this room. And Lord, you see those who have stood up today as a sign, as just a step of faith, saying, This needs to change this year for me. For some of us, we're facing circumstances and situations and relationships that need something to change. Some of us have housing situations that need to change. Some of us have job situations that need to change. And so, Father, I just pray, you are the unchanging God with it, you are immutable, and you have all wisdom and all power and all authority. And so I ask that now you, in faith, that you would step into every one of these situations and that you would bring change. We're trusting you, Holy Spirit. You know what's best. We're praying your kingdom come, your will be done in every one of these situations, Lord. And Lord, for those who have stood today and said, I need to change. This needs to change about me. This needs to change about my parenting style. This needs to change about my marriage. I need to change. God, I pray in the same way, Spirit of God, that you would come and that you would do only what you can do. Move upon our hearts. Change us. Help us to let go of some of the things we need to let go of. Help us to embrace more of your work in our lives. Thank you, Lord. We know change can be frightening. Change can be scary. But you are the unchanging God who is so good that we can trust you. And so we trust you with everything today. We trust you with our families. We trust you with our education. We trust you with our future. And we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, we can leave this room with confidence. We can leave this room knowing that you've got our back. And so we rest in that today. And we celebrate that fact today. We bless you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This message was brought to you by Vineyard Church Glendora, a community of worship and compassion. For more information, please visit www.vineyard-church.com.